We're good now.
Welcome everybody to episode 23 of That Round Net podcast. In this episode, it is only myself and Tops. Unfortunately, Mike could not make this one, so we'll be covering the next few episodes in this pod and sort of set the scene for the end of the season, because the end of the season is here. Tops.
I'm very happy to be here again. After last week, I couldn't make it because of travel reasons and coming back from Vienna.
You would have loved it.
This is the third attempt we're starting this podcast, so we're going to go right into the topic.
If you don't need to know about that, we sometimes have to restart because we don't have the best stuff. But on that note, let's talk about the two big events coming up now that the 2023 regular season is over in Europe and in the US / North America, Canada. So we had the last event of the Spikeball Tour Series this weekend in Canada. And the weekend before that, we had the last event of the ETS season, which was in Vienna. Before we sort of move and we end the regular season, let's talk a little about Vienna, because that was, you was there. That's why you missed last week's podcast. Yes. And we didn't manage to cover too much about it because we had the guests on. So tell us a little bit about the event, the experience while we're here, and then we can crack on with talking about some of the big events coming up in the next month or so.
So it was the last event. It was the first Tour Stop in Austria. It was huge. We had about, I think it was 300 people. It was just a very massive tournament, and we saw that there's a lot of things going on. I also want to briefly mention that we still suffer a little bit from the thing in Austria. Football is the main sport, like up.
So it should be
okay. There's nothing between football and skiing. Like, those are the main ones. And we also suffer from that because on the weekend we had really massive issues with the venue because they had a football game too. Then we had to move. You saw it also on the stream. We had to move in between of games. So the bigger the sports get, hopefully we also can achieve the level that we say, okay, hey, we have run the tournament, guys. We can move for
one day. Could you imagine? Like 30 people turn up for a soccer game and you're like, no guys, RoundNet has booked this field, and they're like, oh sorry, we totally get it, we totally understand.
And we don't have to explain them what it is.
Okay. And oh yeah, it's really actually called RoundNet, but those people know it as Spikeball and
the dream. No, but on the other hand, the event was really nice. RoundNet Vienna organized the whole thing. I think it was very stressful, but the people had really good times. And also, playing-wise, we saw Laura Kunzelmann, firstly, and Lou Washburn not winning the ETS event, which was a crazy story. It will also be in the recap, because Tiramisu, actually, spoiler alert, did win it.
It actually didn't surprise me from, one, the games I saw, and two, just of how well Tiramisu have been playing this year. Like, it didn't surprise me personally. Like, I think all four of them are top. Obviously, right, a top players in Europe and not just that, just in the world. And I thought Tiramisu, like, they have it coming. Like, I think they was very close to beating, they played well against Innes and Lauda in London, England, the last ETS. And I don't know, I just think recently I think Tiramisu have been taking their game to the next level. Is every time I see them play, they're adding different parts, different serves. You know, I think having a more complete game, and I think eventually we're going to see those teams beat two talented individuals because of how much team chemistry matters in important moments, important games, and small margins. So it didn't surprise me too much. It's definitely a headline.
Sure. But it was really fun, and of course, if you win on your home turf, it's just such a good feeling, and we stormed the field afterwards. It was just really good. Overall, I liked the whole event. And then we saw also Birkle Hinkle playing together. So that was also very interesting to see, because they're really close to each other playing-wise and also from their behavior and stuff. So I felt like I have the German Fred Hinkle also there. But they will, like, they had a really well game and took the first place, very earned, I would say, playing against Robert and Auxion in their in their final, and also playing against Willy Wonka, which was, if you want to rewatch one game from that, go ahead, go to the YouTube channel and rewatch Willy Wonka against Bürkle and Hinkley. It was nice.
From the outside, right, as we go through a couple of these headlines before we again jump onto the bigger topics of the end of the season conclusion, for me, it was awesome to see them play and win the final. But for me, there was just so many surprise results that happened throughout that tournament. Like we had RTG Powerline, I believe, losing in quarters against Fred and Mario, if I'm not mistaken. And then we had Hustling Brothers lose to Robar and Clark. Is it Clark? Or how do you pronounce his first and second name, Tops?
Clark, I would say. And the first one, I'm not sure either. So just spare it.
Okay. But yeah.
Times with French names, it's not easy.
And Robert wasn't playing with Dorian as they've usually played as Paul Combia. So it was interesting to see them get all the way through to the final and beat Hustling Brothers in three in the quarterfinals after losing the first set, I think very comfortably. And then Willy Wonka getting sort of so far, which again, wasn't a surprise, but awesome to see because this was their first gold tournament after qualifying officially as gold players in Prague. Earlier this season, so it was really interesting to see how they do, and they ended up beating their fellow Germans, Rainbow Warriors, in quarters, and then getting a good matchup with Fred and Mario in the semis. And did you check for me who did RCG Powerline lose to in the, was it in the quarters?
It was not quarters, it was round of 16, and it was against Capri Suns, the Italian team, which is also, I would say, for the next season, big name, to be honest with you. And I think they really, I mean, it was 15-11 and 15-13, but it was for three sets. So first one was 15-11, second one was 15, and then 15-13. So shout out to them. This was really very convincing game. And also they played against Bürkle Hinkley in three sets.
I personally wanted to see Benny Nelson versus Fred and Mario. I wanted to see that matchup, but I was also really happy for Capri Suns, the guys from Italy, because again, they've been also making really good progress this year and having progressively better results at ETS events from what I can remember. So and I got to play against them as well, obviously a few times this year as well, and it's been fun every time. So
the competition getting, like, I love to see how that tournament went, because the competition getting so much closer and closer. You don't have, like, maybe Eisenträger Sima, you have the one team that you can truly say, okay, they're going to make it to the final or they're probably going to win this. But otherwise, it's so close and the matchups are really good. So it's just a fun time to watch around it.
100%. Yeah. Great thing we have coverage like you covering the event.
Yeah. Thank you.
Fine.
But yeah, overall, it was a really good event. And the last one from the ETS, Tour Stops, which is kind of a, for me, it's now like everything changing, because at the start of the season, it was completely clear. I go to all the ETS events, I make the recaps and stuff like that. And now it's like the time where we figure out, okay, how is it going to look next season? What will be? And it's a big, big changing time. And I'm also kind of re-looking at things and things that I should different next season. So big, big points here.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a time to reflect before getting prepared for the biggest events of the year. So moving on to the rest of the year, because we have two huge events still coming our way from like a global perspective around that, and that we've covered throughout this year so far on the podcast, is that first of all we have the ETS Championships, both the ETS Finale Championship, so basically what Spikeball Tour Series Championship is. We have that, the European version, you could say, the 9th of September in Padova, Italy, where everything will come to a conclusion. And then on the Sunday, we have then the squads event of, what, I think 18 nations as of now, could be one or two less or more, depending on the last minute signups or whatever, but 18 nations who will be competing at the European Squad Championships, which is also going to be so much fun because it's pretty much going to be a mini and very competitive Worlds. And on that fun note, we're actually 1 year out officially from Worlds as well.
Yeah, I think it's also going to be very interesting because there you see there are three men squads and men teams and three women's teams. So you need overall very good competition or very strong teams to get the points in and win the matchups. And I think that's going to be very interesting because when I look at teams like France or like Germany, they have overall very good quality. And also I see Austria very strong because our female players are also very really strong. But then again, we have, I think Switzerland is going to be very interesting because we have also men's teams that are strong. But I'm not feeling that they have like three top teams in the female category. I mean, they have Laura, but also I'm not sure about the name of her partner now. And I didn't
Freya.
See her. Freya?
Mm-hmm. Freya. The second name eludes me, but Freya, a decent, solid women's advanced player. I can't think, probably her best finish is quarterfinals this year. Quarterfinals or round of 16, but a very solid player. I know I met her, and she's also improving very quickly. I think she was a national champion of Switzerland in 2021, so just before Lauda's reign, you could say. So,
yeah, no, I definitely going to be very interesting because they have top teams, but you have to have a decent level overall. So,
yeah,
it doesn't help you that much if you have like this first seed that is unbeatable, second seed is nah, so la la, and third seed is like because we need what?
Yeah, no, 100%.
That it is that case, but you need to really get high up the squads, you really need decent quality. And I think we're going to have fun matchups with people we never saw before.
Yeah, I think to add to this, because right when we was, so for those some people know on the podcast, some don't. So being part of the Euro board, so the European Round Association, we got to now decide how we would best format this event and what our purpose was with it. Because I don't know if you remember, Tops, but last year at the European Championships, we didn't have any squad competitions. It was just the championship, sort of the end of season conclusion, same as the Spikeball Tour Series have each year. And then we decided at the end of this year, what did we want to do? Do we want to have just a championship/finale, as you know, we've had these previous years? And do we want to have a closed division, so a pro division? And if we did, do we want to have a pro women's division, or what do we want to do? And then the other question was then for the Sunday, do we have a mixed category as a, yeah, again, the championships for mixed, or do we have a squad event? Because, you know, the opportunity is ours of how we want to sue it. And we had the fact that Worlds was last year, so there's an opportunity we could do another squads competition every other year away from Worlds, so that we're still having this type of, yeah, nation v nation competition. Because it's, I mean, it's amazing for the sport and amazing for the people playing. But that's then the question was, how do you do it? Do you do it in a 5 format, or do you do it in a 3 format? And basically, to put all of that into our conclusion or concluding thoughts and how we've done it, is that obviously on a Saturday, we now have a pro division on Saturday. So there's men, 16 men's and 16 women's teams that will compete in a closed pro division that you got points for to get into and qualify for the end of the season. But the squad competition, we decided to have it as 3 teams of men and 3 teams of women, and to be competing as one squad, is it because we really want the NGBs, national governing bodies, that is, of each country, to emphasize their quality over a bigger quantity, as in actually build their women's scene, build their men's depth. Because, you know, everyone has a couple of good top teams, but do you have 6 solid teams in regards to 3 top women's pairings and 3 top men's pairing? Because if not, and you just have 3 top men's teams, well, then you're probably not going to go that far as a nation, because the results are as a squad, not as Worlds, where we had women's on one side, men's on the other side. Your men's could finish 5th and your women's could finish 9th. It's everything's mixed now. And then you have that playoff, which is one mixed game, to then again emphasize that, yeah, mix is also really important. And if it does come to a tiebreaker, mixed is the one to determine the conclusion. So there was a lot of thought, and like I just wanted to share, because maybe not everyone's aware of the processes. We're talking about stuff, but I think a lot of thinking and a lot of thinking goes behind the decisions into why and how we structure it the way we did. And I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy the format and the event based on how we've tried to plan it and structure it for this year.
Yeah, I'm really up for it, and I think it's a good call. I'm very looking forward to how it plays out also. And I will Yeah, I will cover the whole event also with the stream. So you can definitely make, you can definitely be sure that there will be high quality rounders and a lot of fun matchups.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm happy.
We're going to, and to talk more about that event, we're going to do a huge breakdown next week on next week's podcast, episode 24, when we preview that huge event, both the Saturday and Sunday of the European Championships.
When we're talking about a huge event, we can go to the next one. And this is, of course, in the US, the first ever tournament for me in the US that I can come and watch. And it is the championships from Spike Ball.
Wow. So if anyone wasn't sure how big of an event it is, it's huge because Tops is going to be there. So now you all know.
Yeah. That's exactly what you should think now. If Tops is there, we should go.
Yes, we do. We have the Spike Ball Tour Series Championship, which... I also is now completely separate to the Nationals because they decided to have it as the Nationals last year as a both crossover event between USA Nationals and the Championship. Whereas this year, they're going to have their own national event for USA RoundNet in Florida in the beginning of October, I believe. But yes, back to the event, we have it on the 30th of September until the 1st of October. All events are done. We will also be covering this event in detail on the week prior to the event. So make sure to tune into that episode where we go and deep dive into the predictions and who we think is going to win on both the men's, women's, and mixed side. But yeah, awesome that you're going to get there. Awesome that you're going to get there. When did you first hear that you was able to go and cover the event?
I'm not sure. I reached out several, I think 2 months ago or something. We were talking, like a lot of background talking. And I think... 2 weeks ago or something, I got this saying, yeah, it will be possible. And since then, I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm also staying with the European crew. Like we have shared Airbnb, so all of the Europeans will go together. And I don't know, I'm just very happy. We're going to fly to New York and then Philadelphia, where it is, of course. And I think it's going to be a very, very cool time also for me expanding also to the US a little bit, because again, this is the first time all the people that know me from the US actually never seen me if they were not going to European tournaments or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm not sure what to expect, but I'm super happy to be there. So I'm hyped. And of course I will make as much content as possible and also take you on this adventure for me. So maybe I can bring a little bit of Europe to the US and also connect the Europeans with the US people. I think it's going to be very, very nice.
I think a huge amount of people are going to be looking forward to, one, just hearing your thoughts about your experience at the championship, and also obviously following the stream. Because if we remember back to 2022, we as Europeans, I was in the US at the time, but Europeans in general had a difficulty finding and watching the event. Because of course they gave the rights to ESPN and there wasn't any additional coverage, so it was very hard for people to follow the event. I know some people who haven't still watched a lot of the event because sometimes when it's an event like that, you want to watch it live. You know, we're all for post-produced RoundNet and watching. You know, the Round Network, which do an incredible job, but you know, it's a little bit like disc golf. If it's a World Championship, you also want to watch it live. You don't want to get told the result afterhand,
and you want to be in that kind of situation, like feeling the spark that is right now happening. And I think this time this will be different, because I think, and I'm not sure, full disclosure, they will all stream on YouTube so everybody can join. But again, I don't have inside information there. I will take it from where we are and just having a good time out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward already to watching, especially because so many European teams on both the open side and the women's category are going to be attending the event. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be definitely a worldwide event.
Yeah, I think also this peppers up a little bit. Especially women's division going to be very interesting, because Tiramisu is a really strong performance. I think Laura and Ronja playing together, they're also a very good team. And, you know, we saw the twins already gotten beaten. And if, like, in the major, there was something happening, something possible, it will be also on the championships.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the women's division as much as watching the men's pro or the open pro. So
yeah, okay,
it'll be a good time.
That's about the championships. I'm also thinking about, like, this is kind of starting for not only the podcast but also for the people out there. It's starting for either indoor seasons or kind of Deutsche Bundesliga for around that, or for us as local clubs, also the point where we go indoors. And sometimes this is also kind of the point that we lose a lot of people that are active, because every season, if people are not super committed, they won't like play in the winter, and then it's hard to get them back again in like early in the year. So that's also kind of a very interesting time. Now it shows either if people go full commitment, such as Rogue did last year, they went to the road of, okay, we're going to train now super hard, going to be the best team next season, or you just disappear from the scene. So I'm kind of very aware of that at the moment, because I know from our local club, we need to figure things out and keep people, you know, be interested in the sport, keep them engaged. And on the other side, it's also very interesting. Some teams just say now, okay, this is the time. Next season is going to be our season.
Yeah, I think two things to add on that is, obviously, as we mentioned earlier, we're officially 1 year, or almost 364 days from those who are listening to the podcast on Wednesday, we're recording on a Tuesday, officially 1 year from the World Championships in 2024 in London, England. So it also, you know, if you're planning on attending and playing in that event, then you're probably not going to take most of the winter and not touch a ball until March or April. And those that do have that drive to get in the squad or compete at the event, they probably will be practicing a lot during the winter. So that incentive is definitely there for a lot of people, even outside of the ETS and the STS events that we've discussed on this podcast. So it definitely will be interesting to see, to see who continues to play a lot and who takes it a little bit easier. But of course, everyone is free to do as they like and as they wish. But it will be interesting to see, because I think with every year that goes in RoundNet, right, there's more information that comes out of how to do things and why we do things. And with more information, like, this is the way I put it. When you was in 2016, let's say you grinded at the end of 2016 season, ready for 2017 season, there's no way you would make the same improvement than you will currently now if you grind as a normal player, and let's say just a low-level premier player. You would nowhere near make the same improvement that you could make now from 2023 until the beginning of 2024, because more information, there's more mechanics, there's more people to look and watch, follow, there's more like ways to do things. So I think like your rate of improvement is obviously going to be so much greater now in this year, 2023, 2024, versus 2015, 2016, even if you put in the same amount of hours.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's very interesting for me.
There's also different sources where you can get like very in-depth information, such as a new YouTube channel that got opened by you. We also
nice segue. I know
about training. Now I want to say also, people should check it out. It's now the time to also get really good, and I think you're doing great content to make that possible. So people should check it out.
Yeah, whether the people do or don't, I don't mind. I just really enjoy coaching those who I coach, and obviously just sharing the information that I get to share. I think I talk with Preston about this a lot on the Unknown Depth around it when we talk about coaching. If people haven't, I recommend listening to that definitely first, because we talk a lot about when you're as a coach, you can discuss a situation 1,000 times. Like, you could say 1,000 different things about this one situation. I think it's a real skill to be able to say the right thing at the right time and be able to condense information into a principle, you know, such as a principle as on defense, right? We're tracking the ball out of the setter's hand. We're not tracking or waiting for the hitter to make their hit to react. Because if you wait for the hitter to hit the ball, it's going to be too late. You need to get in that position and anticipate as soon as that set leaves the setter's hand. Like, that's a principle of defense. I feel sometimes we get too lost in sports. This isn't just RoundNet, but sports, you know, I play soccer and this happens all the time. That we start and discuss 1,001 different micro details, but the real main problem or the real main principle in this instance was you didn't track the set out the hand, and therefore that led you to X, Y, Z mistakes. But the main thing was principle read the set out of the setter's hand. Don't wait for the hitter to make their hit to react. Bang, principle. And it's more, the more principles you can find in round net like this, now you get a complete like guidebook in your head and you get an understanding of what went wrong, what went right. Like, I can't emphasize how much I love watching round net now, because, you know, I'm seeing, I'm not just watching. And I think when you see like this, and now once you see it for the first time, you can never sort of unsee it, because you're just in this mode of constantly seeing things. And it's just so much fun because you're seeing things constantly through like a very clear vision. And I remember when I first played, you know, oh, sick rally. Oh my God, what a hit. But now I'm like, oh damn, off net set. Oh, good projection. He hit that higher than what he needed to give him more like projection. So the ball went further away. Oh, he saw the defense really low, so he decided to, again, contact that ball like 10 inches above the net when he could have contacted an inch above the net and hit it really low. He opted for a high shot. Like, I just, again, I say this just because I think it's really fun, no matter who watches like stuff or on YouTube or even looks at these stuff. I think it's really fun just watching and seeing round net through this perspective. And I hope more people like watching, seeing round net through that perspective. That's all I'm trying to do when I'm trying to coach and stuff.
There's a perfect space now for it.
Yeah. You know, I loved HTR. I'm sure I'm not the only one, right? Everyone loved, I think almost everyone loved HTR. I think it was incredible.
But now it's like, I think now it's also a good time because like HDR is over pretty much. There's not new stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's also a good spot to take now and see also new information, like things that we are figuring out now or things that we didn't look too close till yet. And I think that it's also a very good step for you. Yeah. And if you want to have other good rounding content, you can go to my channel. It's a win-win.
It's a good day for rounding content, that's for sure. Yeah.
Oh yes.
No, I know, you know, I'm sure like you, right, HCR was one of the main reasons I got into round net and started really enjoying the competitive scene, because they was putting into words what I was doing, or at least trying to do, and then I sort of understood what I was doing more. I've never been so frustrated as an athlete just doing something and not understanding what went wrong or right. Like, I want an answer, or at least some sort of help to why it went wrong or right.
I think a majority of the people who play now competitively came to the sport through HDR, because like there were so many principles, also how to do cut serve. Probably everyone that plays in the competitive scene watched that video at a certain point of their life.
Indeed. Yep. 100%. And it's like, since then, now there's like several different techniques to cut a ball. Like, me and Preston have talked about this. I don't know if we recorded this or this is to be uploaded, but either way, I remember us talking about it. Like, it's crazy to look and see how different people are cutting the ball with different techniques, like different initial hand contact points, different end contact points. It's just like, how cool to see that, you know, when they first made it, like, it's ran from there to now what we are. And yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just so much fun to see these sort of things develop over time. And again, I look at things and just be like, damn, look, in another 3 years time, how different the game's going to be again. Like, it's going to be so different, I think, because everyone's going to be so much better and the understanding's going to be better. But yeah. But on that note, on there, there's like nowhere else to go from there. I think it was a good exhaustion of point. But yeah, on that note of just like improvement, right? We've mentioned it before, but 1 year out from Worlds being in London, England, 2024, I think a lot of people are going to be thinking about that date. I know I am for sure, because it's a plan of mine to attend and play and represent Great Britain. But I think that's going to be just a perfect timing for the event. If we talk about, like, again, the growth, we had the first World Championship September 2022 in Belgium, and now in a year's time, think how much happens in a year and round net. Like, I think everything's growing so like on a constant and steady pace. The gameplay is consistently getting better on a steady pace. I think we're just set for an unbelievable world championship in a year's time. Even if nothing's to change about the sport other than the current progression that we're making each year, I think that, yeah, the world championship's going to be incredible.
It's going to be very also to see, like, I feel like now it's also visible that, like, Europe, and maybe at the time in 1 year it could be also Asia to step up the game and also be really competitive, and attend the Worlds. It's going to be very interesting which country is going to take this super seriously and going to grind and going to take everything to the next steps, as we say. And I'm very, very looking forward to see also how the leaderboards will change. Because now I see Canada could be potentially already going over the US, and Germany also, of course, they're developing so good. So who know in 1 year which teams are up there?
Indeed. Yeah. Well, yeah, 100%. And yeah, and I also think, I think not just on that, but we have so many things that are going to happen in the next 12 months in regards to, you know, manufacturers and what we might be using. And I mean, even there was a discussion the other day of like USA and Canada around that, like what would happen with the Tour Series if, like, it's a good, valid question. I don't know how much you know about it, but like the Spike Ball Tour Series right now, they pretty much run the whole of the United States and Canada's events. Like everyone looks at their events and follows it. There's very little events happening and occurring through USA RoundNet and Canada RoundNet. Like they have a small tour series and their nationals. But I think in the optimal world, sorry, Sobs.
Very, very different to our system where actually Euro writes out the tournaments and then the communities apply for it. And in the US, as I saw it, it's basically the Spike Ball Tour Series and some certain other events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed, exactly. And it's like, and even like a year old, the European Round Association, right? It's like trying not to host too many events because you also want national governing bodies to also have their own tour series and keep some of their players at home to be able to grow their local tournaments and countries and develop that way. But like in the US, it's very different because in the US, again, it's all controlled by the Spike Ball Tour Series, which also is then controlled by Spike Ball, which is a manufacturer. And the intent is, of course, to grow the sport, but it's also to be very aware of their margins and profit, because, again, they're a business at the end of the day. That's two very different, you know, ways to host tournaments. Either a European RoundNet Association, which, you know, sole and purpose is to grow the sport of RoundNet in Europe, and then at Spike Ball Tour Series, again, Spike Ball to earn a profit and gain a margin and grow the sport. Of course, now they're going to have several goals, but, again, they're profit-based. So I've always said, and I said this for a long time, I think, you know, USA RoundNet should really be hosting the events in the US, and Canada RoundNet should be hosting the events in Canada. And if Spike Ball then want to sponsor said events, then they would sponsor. But it is a strange that we have the US, which are the best, you know, as of now, currently the best nation in the world if it comes to talent pool of players. Also because, again, they're in history, they got exposure a little bit earlier than the rest of the world. But they also don't have the best, you could argue, organization system from a club to college to state to national governing body organization, if you then compare it to RoundNet Germany, for example, when we had them on the other day. Yeah. And it, of course, has positives and negatives for both ways, but it's interesting to think about.
I think that will be different in the future, because I feel like because they were so early in the competition, they had this advantage from players competing on a high level and getting to learn a lot quicker things like cut serve and the really strong serves that we saw that made a huge difference in gameplay also at Worlds. But nowadays, I feel like when you see an organization like RoundNet Germany, they can compete on such a high level in Germany. And I think in the next few years, it's going to be just even, they're going to even step up their game. And those great competitions and Spike Ball can't do it on their own, like in the US. They will need to rethink how the system works. And I think also for the USA RoundNet, they have much more potential to host events and do tournaments where people compete on a high level, and not only having Spike Ball being present with the Tour Series and only have those events. So I think also for the USA player base, it will be very beneficial to have their own tournaments and then see which hosts they can bring in, which different companies they can bring in to help out also with financing it. So
that's just leads to the bigger question of like, yeah, we've talked about this before, and again, a reference back, like me and Preston talked about this a lot as well, and just on other topics. There's like, the further you go down a potential rabbit hole / tradition, then harder it is to now come out of it, because Spike Ball Tour Series, and, you know, now have contracts with sponsors, and they have this set up and tradition that they host X amount of events each year in the championship. What happens to all those events and Premier is a Spike Ball owned qualification system, owned, I say owned, created you know, this qualification system, what would happen if now USA take that over? Would people just transfer, and then would it happen? What would happen to this? Yeah, events of, between Europe and the US, would there be as much connection and cross events, and you know, all these things that maybe, again, they weren't really, and neither could they be, you know, discussed when the Spyball Tour Series first made their tour series. But with every year that we go on and we don't discuss these things, then the harder it's going to be to then make these changes. Because, you know, is next year the best year to now make this change that, hey, USA round it and Canada round it take more of a control over their tour series and events within their country, and tour series take a step back? Or is it in 2025? Or does it get so far and so big that our Spyball Tour Series start earning a decent amount of revenue through these events because they're getting so big and so much exposure and the sport's on a better level and, you know, more exposure level? So then now they don't want to give up that right of having their own tour series. Like, it's, for me, it's, they're actually really important questions that I don't think enough discussion is being had about them. I mean, we're discussing it now, but we're only discussing it because it's like, hey, it sort of came up and it was just a thought to think about. But I don't know if this is being thought about enough for the future around that, because it's a little bit of a, yeah, it's always a big topic, I think, and it will continue to get bigger the longer we leave it. Either don't answer these questions, don't get answers to these questions, or we see how it goes, you know, year to year. But I think, again, the longer we leave it without discussing it openly, maybe the harder it will be to change.
True. And it's ongoing change. So when we see last year compared to this season in Europe was very different, also with the gold and everything that changed. And I think it's going to be every season a lot of changes ongoing, because the sport is growing, the competition is getting much closer. And so there are a lot of different points that we need to discuss about. But again, this with Canada and the US is a big point. Like, it's a really big point, because it is potentially game-changing also for us, kind of, because how they will develop the sport is also very important for us, because when you see a lot of growth in the US and Canada, you also will shorter or longer see a growth in Europe, because people will get more involved and also see it and take it from there. So, yeah, a lot of questions that are open, but again, I think it's going to be changing every season a lot, and that's also kind of the beauty, because it's still very interesting, because when you see Champions League, it's not changing a lot. It's just decent small changes over the time, and they already get discussed like a lot, and people talk a lot about that. But for us, it's like, okay, everything could be different next season. Mm-hmm. At the moment, the state of the sport.
Yeah, I had a conversation with the other day. It was like, we started off as a 2v2 sport, but you know, there's other sports, you know, such as Dotball 360, that have now made the transition that they're primarily 3v3. Like, where would we be at if we primarily went to 3v3? And then somebody suggested, oh, by the way, should we play 2v2? And then he was like, no, we're sticking with 3v3. And it would just be a totally different sport. But there's not many sports that start off 2v2, right? Like, think back, like, it was 2v2 sports. So, like, transitions, yeah, we're going to have loads of them, or, you know, different things happening each year. And I'm not to say we're going to play 3v3 next year, absolutely not. But, you know, it's an interesting thought, because again, we're so early days. There's still so much to be done to reach the potential. Round it will consistently grow, that's for sure. Just how quick can we get that progression is my or a thing I think about a lot. Not just in regards to, you know, what we're doing now, podcasting, but, you know, tour series objectives and qualification statuses and exposure and teams content, etc. Like, how can we increase this rate of progression to get more numbers and more people finding this cool sport? It's going to conclude episode 23 of That Round It podcast. We are looking forward to previewing the championship, the ETS championship, next week, and we hope you are too. We're looking forward to listening to it. So yeah, enjoy the rest of your morning, day, evening, wherever you're at, whatever time it is, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye bye. Thank you.